Our text for this morning is the book of Titus, chapter 3. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, at the end of the book of Genesis, we are told about 10 brothers who have deeply troubled consciences due to their earlier hatred of a younger brother. But this younger brother, one over whom they used to enjoy the privileges of power, now has the power of Egypt at his command. These 10 brothers, the sons of Jacob, had plotted murder against Joseph and eventually threw him down a well before selling him into slavery. Joseph ended up enduring years of slavery and imprisonment because of his brother's hatred of him. However, the brothers could not have anticipated that their little brother would become a powerful leader of the great nation of Egypt, nor could they have anticipated that he would one day be in a position to take vengeance against them for their cold-hearted, murderous intentions. But that is where they are. Joseph now has both opportunity and cause for repaying them for the years he suffered. The brothers know their predicament. They know they have no chance of explaining away their actions as youthful exuberance or by claiming, "We were only joking. Who knew those Midianites would really buy you?" The weight of their sinful actions burdens them, leaving them no way to get out of their sin and shame. And so they must rely on the mercy and compassion of their younger brother. The 10 brothers ask Joseph, "Forgive us our trespass against you." Joseph has every reason to deny their plea, except that he knows from his own life that the grace of God alone has sustained him. It has kept him from despair, saved him. And so even though Joseph has just cause against his brothers, he forgives them, not because they deserve it, but because it is from grace alone and of no earning on their part. When St. Paul writes here in the book of Titus, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us," he teaches us that, like the brothers of Joseph, we can claim no good reason to avoid the consequences we deserve for our sins against God and neighbor. It is only by the mercy of God, shown to us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we are saved. We are justified by grace alone. But despite the clarity of God's word regarding salvation through the grace of God alone, the teaching brought out so brilliantly here in Titus, as well as in Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, not to mention the very gospels of Jesus Christ themselves, still we find that it is easy to fall back into the thinking that somehow our own works of righteousness can help with our salvation. This happens because we have a much higher opinion of our works than we should, and consequently we have a much lower view of our need for the work of our Savior Jesus. Joseph's brother's actions against Joseph could not be excused. They knew that. So they were forced to rely on the grace, the undeserved mercy of their brother. But consider your own life and how often you keep thinking you can excuse what you have done, what you have said, what you have thought. You use those excuses to cover your sins. And in addition to the excuses we find to hide our sins, we also like to point out the better things we've done, works of righteousness that surely must be at least somewhat pleasing to God. Can we not at least take away some small part of the sting of God's judgment against us? What that would mean, though, is that we would then no longer depend on grace, on undeserved mercy. For now we have introduced into our own salvation some aspect of our own merit. As soon as we have done that, we are not saved by grace alone without works, but now we are saved with a combination of God's mercy and our merit. Well, what is wrong with that combination? What's wrong is that now you have placed yourself in the role of partial savior of yourself. You might not want to think of it that way, but that is the final result of involving your own merits in any way in your salvation. And the consequence, too, is that what God desires for you to be certain about has become uncertain. It is uncertain because you, a fallen son or daughter of Adam, are undependable. Your strength is nothing. Your understanding is darkness. Is this really what you want as you journey in this life toward death? Jesus, the enfleshment of God's kindness and love, the Son of God incarnate, appeared in this world in order to bring certainty to our uncertain world, to bring confidence in the face of our doubts, to bring life in the face of our certain death. To be justified by grace means that Jesus alone is your Savior, and you can add nothing to what he does for you. In him, your sins are forgiven, and you have the hope of eternal life. Do not cheapen the grace of God through the addition of your own merit, but by faith receive the divine treasure of the undeserved mercy of God for you, a poor sinner. And then rejoice in this good news for you, for God has saved you according to his mercy. Verse 7 of the hymn we just sang reads, "Not doubting this, I trust in thee. Thy word cannot be broken. Thou all dost call, come unto me. No falsehood hast thou spoken. He who believes and is baptized, he shall be saved, sayest thou, O Christ, and he shall never perish. Amen." Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.